Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
God for that. Now, would I like internal storage on this? Yes. Would I like a battery backup in this in case you lost power? Mm-hmm. Yes. But they didn't put that into the new one either. So maybe nobody else is asking for this. I have no idea why.
Now, what you could, if you really wanted to, you could put like a battery generator. You could plug it into that instead of the wall.
No.
That's a lot of work.
Church, I want a battery in the Roadcaster itself.
I know what you're saying.
Just a small one. Doesn't have to power it for more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to get you by while your main power
is out.
Is
which happens sometimes.
Back online.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Live in person in Chargers basement. Look-a-goo. I missed it, damn it. Look-a-goo.
Okay. We're in the Great White North right now.
I am surprised that your lovely dogs did not go crazy. Because Pepper and Scraps, they're beautiful dogs. I love them to death.
Beautiful's a little strong.
Okay, well, did Roxy take them for a walk? Is that why?
I think they're sequestered upstairs in the bedroom or her office, more likely.
All right, take off. The weekend happened as planned, and it was glorious. Glorious with an asterisk, Charge, and this would be that asterisk.
Nice mixing on that. Yeah, for you, For me, that's an asterisk. For you, maybe not. That's the preferred outcome right there. But man, did my Vikings lay a turd on Sunday night. Oh, jeez.
I believe the operative question I had for you afterwards was, did your guys know the game was today? Did they get a text in the morning? Game
surprise.
Today. Game tonight, 7:50. Oh, shit. I had plans to go to New Year's. I am so not. I haven't even stretched yet today. We got to play tonight? That's how bad your Vikings looked. It was pitch and catch, pitch and catch. 5 yards on first down, six, seven yards on first down. Aaron Jones went for 100+. Bo freaking Melton.
Who?
A seventh round, second year practice squatter who's been pressed into duty. Became the first 100-yard receiver this year.
No way.
For Jordan Love.
They didn't have one all season?
Haven't had one all season.
Crazy. And it's him against my beloved Vikings. The Vikings clearly succumbed to the weight of a lost season and no quarterback. And the reality that even a win here was not... They knew, even a win here, that they were not a playoff-caliber team that was going to do anything in the playoffs. And I just think it all came to roost in one game.
Do you know the phenomenon of the grieving spouse syndrome or broken heart syndrome, they call it, where a couple that's been together their whole lives, 50-plus years married, whatever, one of them dies, the other one dies within days or hours because the overwhelming grief of it just kind of submits them.
Their life.
Right, that was their life. And so I feel like your Vikings were in that sort of mode because you had shuffled through all of the options after
after quarter.
The astronaut them, was like, oh, this is great. What a great guy. And they're like, oh, boy, there's a reason
really
that
can't
he was
pass.
There's a reason that he was available. You're like, okay, Mullins, you dubbed him, quote, non-awful.
I'll stick to that.
Okay, fine.
Yep.
But then he showed too much awfulness last week, and so O'Connell said, let's try Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall
way worse.
And so I feel like the whole team realized we're spinning our wheels. Stop hitting the gas, we're spinning our wheels. They just kind of tapped out.
And, you know, big picture, what worries me as a Viking fan is Lions and a sending team. They're the win the division handily. They can go out and, you know, and many people believe, I do, they beat the Cowboys last week, even though it didn't show up in the win column.
And we're going to get to that here on the pod today.
Bears, ascending team. Defense has gotten to be one of the five or six best in the league.
With assets galore,
more coming, possibly,
if they decide to trade out of 1-1.
Right.
More on that in a second.
And they secured the number one overall, so they've got a fascinating offseason. That'll be the biggest talker from the draft. Going into the draft process will be whether or not Chicago keeps that. And Packers as an ascending team, as Jordan Love has gotten to be what looks like the quarterback of the future.
I mean, here we are almost at the end of the regular season road. He's top five in a lot of categories.
That's a remarkable turnaround.
The cheapest wide receiver group in the league by salary cap.
They're all on their rookie deals.
All
of them, yes.
Having lost all-pro left tackle David Bakhtiari after the first game of the year, and with no 1,000-yard receiver and no 1,000-yard rusher.
Yes. And
scary stuff.
And one of the five worst defenses in the league.
Yeah.
And here they are, week 18 coming up, and your Packers are still battling for a playoff spot. They can make despite all of that.
It's win and get in. So in other words,
Okay, don't need any help? Good.
Yes, thank you to Pittsburgh for doing Seattle dirty.
Yeah.
And I believe there was something else that fell
through. Was it the Falcons?
It might have been. But I know this. We're back in the same square we were a year ago with the Packers, and that was at home. Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. Just have to beat a division rival or opponent to get in. And I don't have wild confidence that it's a lock at all for the Packers. I think the Bears are coming, and I think they are foaming at the mouth.
To play spoiler here, yes.
And they've been playing good football, too.
They have. They have, Zabe. I think the odds, where's this being played? In Green Bay, right?
Lambeau, yes.
Oh, man.
Zabe. Let me get the point spread here. Packers -3. So the courtesy three, like, well, it's an even game.
Right.
Holyfield's worth three. There you go.
I think the Bears are going to win this game. I think the I've given the Packers a false sense of security.
Yeah. I thought for sure the Packers would lose last night, but then again, that's why you watch the NFL. It's the kaleidoscope league. What you saw one week is now gone the next week. Bad defense by the Packers against Bryce Young in Carolina, and suddenly they look great against your Vikings. And so nothing ever makes sense. By the way, Bryce Young completely stunk.
Oof.
Got shut out, 112 yards, no touchdowns, a pick. The owner ended up throwing a cup of something on a fan, allegedly, David Tepper.
It's not very alleged when you've got the video of it.
You know, somebody else said, I can see the league's alternate headline being, NFL owner generously gives free drinks to fans.
Opposing fans, yes.
Or something like that. So the Packers made
It's a baptism of sorts.
Yes. Packers made Bryce Young look great last week, and then this week they figured out, you know, Joe Barry figured out, hey, I should blitz some. Might be a good idea against an inexperienced rookie quarterback, and you saw the results. That said, the whole night, this whole trip charge has been amazing. It has come to fruition. Thank you for having me here in your beautiful home with your beautiful bride, Roxy, and your two beautiful dogs. And I know you say, not so much.
It's a beautiful, strong.
Pepper and Scraps. Make sure I get a photo with them before I leave.
Oh, okay.
And
playing. Scraps licking your face. We could get that.
Yes. Yeah, we Scraps that. Is a face licker for sure.
Yeah.
And your pinball machine, Godzilla, we need to talk about that. Watching games on Sunday, Manny's last night, New Year's at Prohibition Bar, 27th floor at the W. It worked out.
Kind of everything went right.
The only downside was the game was a snoozer. It was a bore.
That was bad. Yeah. And speaking of bores, your good friend Kevin not able to get to Big Boar.
Big Boar Barbecue, which was Saturday night, which was great because of a little bit of ice and sleet and snit.
Sneet, as we like to call it here. This is a Sneet household, Zabe.
Exactly.
Get on the program with that. For all the doubters, all the Zabe doubters out there that said, A, you'll never come. You'll back out.
B, you'll leave early.
And B, you'll leave early.
Mm. What do I have to say?
In your face, Milwaukee.
In the immortal words of Degeneration X, I got two words for you. Suck it!
I love it.
It worked out great. Jordan Love looks to be that guy, and people are now running wild with this. Three in a row. I said years ago, 3 years ago, when they drafted him, and their plan was, we're going to sit on him, because Rodgers is still good.
Yeah.
I said, this is not how you do it. You're wasting a number one pick. He's sitting idle for 2+ years, 3 years in his case, 3 years of zero production from a first-round pick. And I said, the sheer odds of you finding another quarterback just because you did the same thing with, Rodgers
and Favre, right.
I'm like, that was luck. You hit the lottery. You're not going to do it again. It looks like they've gotten it right a third time.
It does. And now they're going to have to re-sign him much sooner than you would normally have to re-sign your first-year starter. But
it'll be an easy check to write.
That will be an easier check. Now, it'll is that expensive. Coming this offseason or is it coming the next offseason?
They can dap him up with new money after May 4th, I believe, is the date.
Okay. All right. And I wonder if that'll happen.
And they're going to push a lot of money. They would have loved to have pushed a lot of money in front of them already.
Well,
but
that would have been daring.
If you'd have
done it last March, that would have been very bold when we knew nothing about it. For that matter, Zabe, if you'd have done it after week 7, it would have been bold. I mean, things look bad for Jordan Love at midseason.
They did.
The Packers had a bad stretch. 2 or 3 wins. He had mostly played very inconsistently.
Yep.
But credit him and the coaching staff. Pulling it all together in the second half of the year.
We'll talk about quarterback dilemmas that are coming in the NFL. Also, the Lions and their trick play that blew up like a cheap rocket. Blew up like one of those Acme rockets in the Roadrunner versus Wile E. Coyote, thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I got a great plan to get old Wile E. Coyote, bam, or the Roadrunner. Blows up in their face.
Now, isn't that a movie that somebody's working on? Is Wile E. Coyote versus Acme? I believe somebody's doing that movie, which sounds brilliant to me.
Oh,
Wile E. Coyote versus Acme.
It's coming out It already came out in 2023. Coyote versus Acme, American comedy, directed by Dave Green and written by Sammy Birch, combining live action and animation.
Yes. Yes. Like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? It's a courtroom drama, as I understand it, with Wile E. Coyote against the Acme Company, which...
Okay, hold on. It was to be released in July of this past year, but the studio removed the film and replaced it with Barbie.
Oh, well, okay. Understandable.
Did pretty well.
That was a good call. So they've pushed it back some period of time, but it's still coming out. What a great premise.
Hold on a second. Not true.
Okay.
This is crazy. On November 9th of this year, Warner Brothers officially announced the film was completed, but they would not release it.
What? They How bad is it then?
They preferred to claim a tax loss of $30 million.
Wow.
The crew was not informed of the decision until after the film was completed. The move drew criticism from filmmakers, animation outlets, and talent reps.
Oh, I'm sure.
Several left angry phone calls with Warner Bros. Expressing their frustration at the move.
Oh, of course. Jeez, that's so lame.
However, 4 days later, it was reported that studio leaders had reversed their decision and allowed the filmmakers the option to shop the film to other distributors.
Okay.
Netflix, Apple, Amazon was interested in buying the distribution rights. But they report that interest from distributors to buy the film, there are currently no hard offers, and director Dave Green is crafting his own PR campaign.
Wow. Wow.
That's so funny. It's a movie that is done. And it ready must, to be released, and it's stuck in a vault.
It must be bad, Zabe. It must be really... It's a great premise,
I don't give a shit. I want to see it now.
I do, too.
Right. If it's that bad or if it's that weird, I definitely want to see it. I'd say this film is like the Russell Wilson of films, stuck in an awkward and potentially litigious limbo right now.
We're not going to use you at all for tax, for money-saving purposes, both of them.
Unbelievable. Okay, so, yeah, we'll talk about the Lions play in just a second. Let me give you some thoughts on your stadium experience here in Minneapolis. The Arboretum, as I call it, or perhaps the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. So much glass, yes.
Is such a beautiful venue. And such a magical place to watch a high-level tackle football game. It is very much engineered by your game ops people. It is tuned up to a T, and it is cranked up to 11. Somehow, the speakers inside that building that play all the bow.
Yeah, nicely done.
And
yes.
Right,
the third down sound, yes.
Right, whatever those things are. They're both really loud, Church, and yet not ear-splitting.
Yeah, they've hit it just right. They've hit it just right.
And the acoustics in there are seemingly great when they theoretically should be awful
with all the glass.
So, right. Have you seen concerts at U.S. Bank?
I haven't because I don't go to those kinds of concerts.
Right.
But the people who go tell me the sound is shockingly good for an arena. Yeah. I mean, the people who go see Taylor Swift, et cetera, you know, U2, when they play that size venue, they say it sounds great.
I was lucky enough to see Timberlake at the Super Bowl here.
Remember,
he was the halftime act.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I really took close notice of how good the acoustics were, but they were pretty good. So the game ops with all of the scoreboard stuff and the hype videos and the sound effects and the music, it is very much on point. Kudos to your team for that. The biggest criticism that some of my media Packer old school hardo buddies like Aaron Nagler have to say is, it's all fake. Look at it, it's all fake. It's indoors. It's perfect. The grass, it's fake. And the snowflakes are fake. And da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, what do you want?
How are you going to, if I'm going to enclose it, what are my options here?
Once we enclose it to make it nice.
Yeah.
Once we, because it cost a pretty penny. and it was hard to get the approval for the money.
Oh, it was very hard. It took years. Right. Years of work.
And,
yes.
And it was a lot of brinksmanship where pretty much the Wilf family was like, so where's that L.A. Map of potential land sites, right? Now, they were threatening to go to L.A.
Never publicly, which was smart of them.
They didn't threaten.
They never did it publicly.
But other proxies were like, hey, you know, L.A. is open.
Not, as far as I know, never from them, but no. Lots of people drew the obvious conclusion at right. The time there was no team in L.A. And so right. You're like, well, listen, you know, this is it. If you want an NFL team, you got to pay to play. That's the story. Do you want a team or not?
Yeah.
And eventually we got the stadium.
Yeah. The whole Skol thing also is an easy target for detractors.
Oh, absolutely. Happens all the time.
Well, because you borrowed / licensed / stole it from the, which country had it? Iceland's
I think
national
it's an Iceland thing, yes.
Soccer team.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole Skol thing has only been a thing for the Vikings for 10 years
yeah,
at most.
Yeah, basically about the same time this stadium.
Okay.
Fired up, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it is heavily marketed. Hashtagged.
Yes.
Hashtag
yes.
Skol this, Skol that. Do you know if they settled with the Icelandic national team over that
I don't
name?
Think, I don't think they ever had to.
Or do you have to
I
like...
I think that's just part of literal Viking lore.
Okay. Oh, you think Skol is a real Viking thing?
Yes, I think it's a real Viking thing. You know, the Vikings obviously took over large swaths of territory, including Iceland. And so I think that's where it comes from, is that Skol is a legitimate Viking Nordic thing.
Yeah, the there's I'm looking at an article right now. This is from 2016,
about the time it started.
The Vikings have a new chant, reports care11.com. That's KARE 11, your NBC affiliate.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of friends that work there.
Okay. The Vikings have a new chant, but many may be surprised to find out where it actually came from. The new cheer is literally called the Viking War Cry, borrowed from Iceland. But what does this really have to do with the Vikings? You might be surprised. If it's done correctly, it's supposed to scare the shorts out of any competitor like it's done in Iceland. While it's a somewhat new chant for the Vikings, we're hardly the first ones to do it. The French national soccer team stole it.
Okay.
As did an Australian rugby team.
Okay.
And they stole it from an Iceland soccer team.
Okay.
However, several articles from overseas claim that even though they've perfected it in Iceland, and they are the best, by the way. Have you seen Iceland?
No, I haven't seen the Iceland Skol chant.
I will get that up for you in all a second. There's claims that Iceland stole it from a Scottish soccer team in 2014.
Jeez, okay.
And then on top of that, there's several claims that it was stolen from a scene in the 2006 movie 300.
Not a great movie either.
Did you see it, by the way?
I did.
It wasn't funny enough for you, like Christmas Vacation.
It was funnier than Christmas Vacation by a fair margin.
Yeah, like when that one guy got an arrow through his eye. I laughed my ass off.
Funnier than anything Randy Quaid has ever said in his entire life.
Okay, go ahead with your point while I look this thing up. You're about to say.
I don't think anybody owns this. Nobody's got ownership of this. It's been recrafted, reused, perfected, changed, tweaked so many times. There's no patent holder on the Skol anything.
Okay. This was Iceland. Yeah, Iceland fans perform.
I can literally walk over to you and see it.
Well, okay. Look.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Size.
What do you think that is? Like,
this was
a half million people?
I don't know. I'm not good at crowd size estimates. This was when they returned home after a nice quarterfinal run in the World Cup, a surprise run for Iceland in soccer.
Now for us.
And then after that, there's that boom.
Yeah.
Now what is that sound effect?
That's the Galahorn.
Oh, that's
right. That's the war horn the traditional war horn for the Vikings.
Is that
Galahorn
horn or the Yaller horn?
Yaller, yeah. Okay. Yaller, something like that.
Hold on a second. Okay, there we go. Yeah, let me see if I can get the Vikings version. So, of course, your boy Kirk my boy, Kirk, did the, not drum banging, that was somebody else, but he did the hype up. What do they call that? When he stands next to the Yaller horn, which is fake, and the drum, which is real, and he just hypes up the crowd. You get a celebrity for every game.
We do. Every home game's got a celebrity, usually a retired Viking, who comes in and blows the Yaller horn. Now, you couldn't blow the Yaller horn in real life because it's like gigantic. You could never actually do that. So there isn't you don't actually blow it, but it puts out the big oh through the whole stadium.
Right.
And Kirk came out shirtless, wearing his chains with his kid shirtless as well, which was fantastic.
And he got a massive pop.
Yeah, he for did. That. He did. The stadium went crazy.
Which doesn't mean that he's universally loved here, because you still get calls on KFan and people emailing and texting and tweeting you saying, we've got to move on. Now's the time. We're not putting another dime into this old
36-year-old, yeah.
This old boring Ford Taurus of a quarterback. Yeah, it works. It runs for the most part till it broke this year. But I'm tired of it. We got to get something better. Got to get a sports car. Got to get a Ferrari, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's changed
pop
a lot. Yeah.
For Kirk. Here, let's... You got a drum line that's called the skull line now.
Yep, we have the skull line, and we've had that for a long time as well. That's Jared Allen.
Jared
right
Allen,
there. Hall Cowboy of Fame head. Finalist. Jared Allen.
I think he belongs. He was a terror.
He was awfully good.
Roping doggies.
Yeah. Chiefs let him go. Amazing.
They did.
Yeah, Vikings traded for him.
Here comes the blah.
Right. That's the Yaller horn right there. Don't know who this guy is in this particular version that's blowing it.
I got a little spine tingle right there.
It's not like, bad.
It's a great audio hook. Now, stolen or not, fake or not, it's a great hook. I just thought about all the kids that are Viking fans growing up here in Minnesota that have not yet gone to a game, and how they would feel when they experience that leading up to kickoff.
Yeah.
They would be out of their minds.
It'd be awesome, right? Yeah, the build up, everything. Yeah, for sure.
It's so loud and immersive, and the lights and everything else. I mean, and the fans are into it. That's the good part. Now, the bad part was later in the game when the Vikings were just shitting the bed, somehow a skull chant rose up. I think it was to start the second half. And I looked over to you and I go, this is the saddest, weakest. Because it was weak.
Their hearts weren't into it at that point.
Right, because the stadium guy did the whole thing about, you know, boom, boom, skull.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around, half the people are sitting down. They're not doing the chat.
We're already down by 20 at half.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are still in the bathroom or the beer line at that point. It was a bad deal. Now the
other thing, the other two things, go ahead,
The best mocking of the skull chant. Sean Payton, seconds before the Minneapolis Miracle in
Get
his
out.
Face, he was mocking the skull chant, and then we dropped the Minneapolis Miracle right in his ugly face.
Oh,
was that fantastic.
Oh, yeah, there it is right there. Look at that.
Yep. There's it.
People have made it into a gif.
Yep. Sean Payton mocking the skull chant. And we freaking jammed it up his ass.
Oh, all right, we'll get to that in a second. One other thing that your stadium ops guys do great, and gals, and I wish the Packers would do more of this. They did just get a bigger Jumbotron at Lambeau Field. It's not as good or as big as yours. The Vikings have two Jumbotrons on either end zone. One is slightly larger than the other. The large one is so clear, so bright, and so crystal. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And as my friend Kevin said, he likes it better than Dallas, where he's been a lot, because the Jerrytron in Dallas is omnipresent. It hangs over the field.
Right.
And
right.
It's so
the
big.
The punters kick into it.
Right. It's so big, you can't not always be looking at it. I like your stadium in that it doesn't have anything impeding your visual sort of space as you gaze down on the field.
You're watching the game on the field, not on a TV.
But the best Jumbotron in the stadium isn't worth shit if your stadium ops people don't show replays. And the Vikings do, I think, people, the best job I've ever seen in this stadium.
Wow.
I was stunned. I was blown away. Every single play, you are getting a replay within seconds of the play being over. I mean, seconds.
I need that.
By the time they pick up the ball carrier and then you start to look up, there's the first replay of the play.
Yes.
There were, I counted on many occasions, not one, not two, but three different angles of the play that just happened, tightly cut into 8 seconds, 8 seconds, 8 seconds, because you got to go quick between plays. And it was regular TV type angle, overhead.
Yeah, some stadium only.
Down to show the blocking, which was amazing. And then sometimes a ground level camera that might give you a more sort of, you know, immersive feel. It was phenomenal. And it and your stadium people did it on every play. Every play, not just a good play. And certainly they didn't withhold plays that were good plays for the other team. I've been to stadiums where they don't, like the Capitals used to not show goals again of the opposing team because the thinking was, hey, man, we're not
flossing demoralizing,
them. Yeah. Fuck them. No, man, we don't need to show you a replay. They scored. Deal with it. It's like, no, I'm at the fucking game. I want to know what happened. Who fucked up on defense? Was there a nice pass where I can go, all right, damn, that was a sweet pass.
Yeah. Was that really a penalty? They were showing that stuff too. Like
the most maddening thing ever when I found out from somebody in stadium ops that, yeah, that's our policy. We don't like to show good plays by the other team. Fucking stupid as shit. So
don't give me reasons to stay home. And well, that's a reason to stay home.
Exactly. That was my saying. I'm like, listen. I'm here. I'm paying exorbitant prices for tickets.
I thought you didn't pay anything for the tickets.
No, I did not pay anything. Thank you, Jeff Tyler.
For these tickets. Tip,
Jeff Tyler for the four tickets. But you're paying exorbitant money. You're paying big money at the concession stands. And you should be able to see as much of the replays as possible. So big A++ for the Vikes Stadium Ops people on that. The one thing you need, though, and I told you this exists at Lambeau now, and it exists at many NFL stadiums. And you were like, wow, that's a great idea.
Sinks for toilets?
Yes.
Is that what we need to just really replicate the Lambeau experience?
No. What you need is at Lambeau, they now put a timeout clock, countdown clock on the Jumbotron in the corner during TV timeouts. And it's usually 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 2:30. So, all right, timeout on the field. Everything stops. You look up at the scoreboard, you see 2:30, and it starts ticking down. It's the greatest thing ever because we're all on our damn phones. So you're like, okay, I got 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Let me get on the phone. Let me send a text. Let me look up who's hurt. Let's see what people are tweeting about. Bah, 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 bah.
My Guillotine League score. Yes.
Right, Guillotine League score. You look up, and you're like, oh, look at that. There's still 1:10 left. I got time to send a text to whoever.
Right.
That's the one thing I didn't see yesterday.
There is not. I did not see that in the stadium.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
That and you need Red Bull in the stadium because
how do we not have an energy
Kevin
drink?
Kevin was lagging. He goes, man, I need a Red Bull vodka. Let's go. He comes back with just a vodka soda for me, and I'm like, well, what happened? He goes, they don't sell any energy drinks here.
Diet Coke does have caffeine. You could have just done that, right?
I know.
I don't know.
You're right, but he wanted an energy drink.
I know.
He was completely like, what? Is that some sort of Minnesota Puritan ethic? Like, we're not going to...
No, it's because they apparently don't have an exclusive energy drink partner who has written a big check to the stadium to be the exclusive energy drink partner.
That is true. The Vikings,
that's what I think
the
it
Vikings
is.
Do a great job of leveraging all their corporate partners,
they
for
all,
sure.
They all do.
So anyway...
It's the name of the game.
Your season's over. O'Connell said that he's going to... Flip a coin, I guess. He didn't say
no, it's going to be Mullins. Mullins is going to start.
He said he's considering all options for the start.
I know, but that's just because after the game, it's a little distasteful, I think, to just go, yeah, we're going to keep benching that guy that started for us. So he took the easy way out, but it's going
to
be Mullins.
Okay, so pretend to deliberate.
Yeah.
Why not go back to Dobbs?
Because he was a turnover machine. They all are. All of them were turnover machines. So, yeah. And I think that ship sailed.
I sent a picture of you and I together, and you had a wonderful big smile, and somebody commented, like, you know, Charger's got a big smile for his team getting, you know, boat raced. I'm not sure I could be that guy. And my response, I think, was basically, Church knows what time it is. Yeah. He knows that this team knew that they were sunk without a quarterback, and especially with a Hawkinson injury, because he was a huge part of the offense.
Huge part of the offense. That's right. And we lost our second-best edge rusher. We had injuries all over the place. They all do this time of year, so it's not a very valid excuse. But when Kirk went down, we knew it was game over. I mean, you know, you have to stumble into a Joe Flacco-like thing, which is a 1 in a 20 chance, you know, 5% chance you're going to find a street free agent who's competent, let alone what Flacco's done.
Right.
It's like a 2% chance. Yeah. So we knew that once Kirk went down, it was over.
Yeah.
And, you know, we stayed playoff relevant until the day before, the last day of 2023, which is not half bad.
Last year, everything went right. You had the horseshoe firmly up your ass.
For sure.
And it ended badly against the Giants. And it helped the Giants miscommit a huge contract to Daniel Jones because of one fucking game.
Yes.
And this year it all went wrong. And that's the nature of the NFL. You don't know. Every season comes individually wrapped, which is why, and I'm going to end our segment on this. We're going to come back and just mop up some stuff. But this is why I'm going to say this for Packer fans out there, you listening. Don't fucking tell me, even if they lose to the Bears and miss the playoffs, it was still a great year because all that this year mattered was to find out if Jordan Love is the guy. Fuck that. Fuck that to the moon. That is loser.
That's loser talk.
Yeah. That's loser thinking.
Uh-huh.
I'm still pissed they threw away several games because Joe Barry is an incompetent pussy who should have been fired. But if they don't win against the Bears at home and miss the playoffs, the season is a giant failure. It doesn't mean you shouldn't hate the team or dislike the team, but don't say, well, okay, so they missed the playoffs, but it was still a good year because, man, look at how good Jordan Love did. He's our guy for the future. Individually wrapped seasons, precious things unto themselves that can deliver you incredible glory when you don't expect it. Take them. Cherish them. Value them, Church. And don't give up on them. Don't be so casual with the season. That's my message. Never be casual with your NFL team season. If you have a chance to make the playoffs, fucking grind to make it. And don't be like, well, it didn't really matter.
There. The players don't think that, I can assure you. They're not rolling in. There's no Packer player that's rolling into next week's game going, well, it's okay if we lose because we know we got Jordan Love.
Right.
They're playing to make the playoffs. Why should your standards be any lower?
Right. Plus, there have been a number of wild card teams that have surprised.
Tons. Absolutely. Other than the 49ers, they all look beatable in the NFC.
Right.
They all do. So, you know, what's to say the Packers don't find their way in and get themselves to San Francisco for the NFC Championship game? Not impossible.
That would be something. But one game at a time, Packers are still three-point favorites only against the Bears, who are coming with teeth gnashing and foam spitting out of their mouth.
And they should, because you know what? They've been your bitch for a long time.
Oh, they have.
And they finally have a chance to exercise some demons on your squad on Sunday. It is Sunday, right? They're not a Saturday game.
It's a Sunday afternoon. Sunday game. 3:25.
I think they're gonna take it. And most casual fans don't realize how well that team's playing.
Yeah.
It's going to be, this thing's going to be a grinder.
But they have a quarterback dilemma coming because the chants at Soldier Field last week were, we want Justin, or we want Fields, we want Fields. Amazing. He was like, I heard him, it's great, I'd love to be here, I can't control all that, I just want to play my best. But they've got a dilemma. There's other teams that have incredible dilemmas coming. I've got categories for teams in the NFL at quarterback, because remember, this is still a TV show about quarterbacks, and we will talk about that coming up next after this quick break here. Zabecast plausibly live from Church's basement after an amazing New Year's Eve trip up here to the Great White North. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match
with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's FITBOD.ME/Zabe. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
All right, we're back. So here's the dilemmas I see. Number one dilemma is Denver. Denver, with this whole Sean Payton going rogue situation.
Yeah.
And with Russell Wilson now being benched.
They did beat Easton Stick.
Yeah, presumably cut. They got three big problems now to figure out. Number one is they got the 9th pick overall in the draft.
That's good. Gets you close. Gets you close, but not quite there.
So the first dilemma is, do you go reaching deeper into the future for more assets, keep throwing good money after bad, so to speak.
Yes.
And to move up to get one of the one or two or three guys that are the considered best quarterbacks. That's dilemma number one. Don't answer that. Dilemma number two is they could be in some real legal problems with NFL bylaws over how they executed this.
Yes.
There is documentation, and the NFLPA is all over this going, the fuck? You cannot threaten to bench a player as a negotiating tactic. You can bench anybody you want, but you cannot threaten to bench unless they give you something back on the contract you've signed. And that's all in writing. That's all in the bylaws. They have a big legal issue on their hands. That's the second layer of Denver's dilemma. The third layer is when anyone wants to sign with them, how are they going to feel about dealing with this administration?
Right, because you could be next.
Yeah,
you could be the next one up that suddenly we're going to tear up your contract and bench you. No, that's now a rookie wouldn't have that option.
If in theory they moved up to get a quarterback and the quarterback said, fuck, I'm not playing for Denver. Look at how they treated Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
What happens then if they threaten to hold out or go back to school?
Which kids are going to start doing this, Abe, because they're entering the NFL as multimillionaires.
Exactly.
They can easily sit out a year and go back into the draft again.
Would they have to sit out a year?
They do.
Oh, you've
checked on this. To be draft eligible, you have to sit a whole year.
So you can't just declare and then warn the team, if you draft me, I'm going back.
You can do that. You can say, Denver, if you draft me, I'm not playing for you. Then you have to sit out the whole year. Then you're draft eligible again.
Sit out what? You can't play, go back and play college?
No. You can't play. Well, I don't know about the college part, but you can't. Obviously,
I'll have to do some research on this.
But you have to. There is a one-year thing. You have to time out for a year.
Either way, they have a three-layered bag of shit that they're dealing with in Denver. And I don't know if there's any good answers. Let's move on.
Sean Payton sucks. If there was ever an NFL coach who would take sexual pleasure from murdering hobos, it's Sean Payton. He's a grade-A ass, and he deserves all the shit that he's gotten himself into.
Right. Any quarterback that is going to go there has to think, do I want to deal with this dick?
No.
Yeah.
So, the worst.
Denver's in quite a pickle right now. Dilemma number two, Chicago. What does Chicago do? Fields is playing better.
He is playing better.
He threw a lot of dimes yesterday in that game.
Yeah, the DJ Moore back corner touchdown pass was glorious.
He is.
And then he's running around the field making he had a run around the right sideline that was just crazy. You know, one of those, like, him and Lamar Jackson are the only two that could have done.
He's Lamar light in terms of elusivity, but he's got a bit of Tebow splash sturdiness to him.
Yeah, he's got more like Jalen Hurts. Right where
right.
Know, he's got faster that physical
than Hurts,
part.
Yeah. Faster than Hurts, bigger than Lamar.
Yes.
Not as good of an eluder, but close as Lamar.
Agreed.
Passer, he's not as good as Lamar, who locked up the MVP with 5 touchdowns, perfect passer rating.
Yeah.
Do you keep him, and do you trade back again? Or do you do a teensy scooch back and nab Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I think that's what they'll end up doing. That's what I think they'll do. Now, what we know, everybody knows, the true right answer, and there's only one, is to also draft a quarterback and make these guys compete. But nobody does it. Nobody does it. Every position, you allow position battles. It's always like, you know, toughest guy, best guy's going to come out on top. But they won't. The NFL won't do that. At the most important position, this is where they get soft. Oh, well, we can't suggest that our quarterback has got competition. Then what? His fragile psyche will unravel. So teams never do it that way, Zabe. So I think they're going to look at another massive haul where they're going to only have to move back like 2 picks, and they're going to get future first and second rounders. They're going to turn a 2-pick, 3-pick, 4-pick move into 2 first rounders and 2 second rounders. And that's going to be so compelling that they'll end up doing that. And they'll surround Justin Fields with Marvin Harrison and a new offensive line and, you know, maybe a better running back and a better defense. You just put everything around him so he's in a spot to succeed.
Right. He's in his fourth year, Fields, and the fifth-year option is an easy pickup for teams. It's not that expensive. So he's under control for 2 more years. What if they drafted Caleb Williams anyway?
That's plausible.
I don't think it is. Here's why. This guy is hype city. Uh-huh. He's very good, but he's also new school in the hype.
Very much
and
so.
All that stuff.
He wouldn't want to have to compete to be number one.
Well, or to sit for 2 years.
No.
In other words, what if the Bears did Justin's our guy at least for the next 2 years, but you can never have too many good quarterbacks, and we don't know long run who's going to be that good, so we're going to take the best quarterback available. We love Caleb Williams. We think he can learn a lot from Justin. He's going to be with us, and I would be shocked if he didn't play some because guys get hurt in this league, and we're going to need him to play well.
Very sensible.
That's a plausible and actually pretty smart way to go about it, but where it falls apart is the agent and the player, and even worse, the media, the screaming heads on ESPN, would lose their mind. This is unfair. I can see Stephen A. Smith right now. This is unfair to this young man. He deserves a place to go and make his own identity and to be the man in a city, because there's this notion of you're entitled to that. And I say, Like Tony Soprano said to Carmela when they were fighting and about to get divorced in the Italian restaurant in Artie Bucco's place, you're entitled to shit. You're entitled to shit. Like, Caleb Williams is entitled to shit. He's entitled to be drafted and be paid what the number one pick is worth. And if he doesn't play right away, because he is not better than Fields right away, too fucking bad.
Yeah, that's it.
But the media environment wouldn't allow that move.
Well, and I wouldn't make that move. Caleb Williams would simply go,
be a dick about it.
I'm not doing it.
Right. It takes the cooperation of the player. So that's one that may not
work. Look, Cowboys did it with Steve Walsh and Troy Aikman.
In a totally different age. I don't think you can carry it through. It's hard to do. The one other overlap I thought of last night when we were celebrating was Alex Smith and Mahomes. Smith was good, but not anything special. But he was pretty good that year, the last year that Mahomes was there watching him. And they took Mahomes like the 13th pick in the draft, I think.
Yeah, 10, 11, moved 12, up, yeah, something moved like up that. To that spot.
So it wasn't 1-1, but that was only a one-year overlap. I'd go with the overlap theory of, yes. And by the way, maybe it's not Williams when it's all said and done. Maybe it's Drake May. I doubt it, but whatever. So that's going to be fascinating. Now I'm going to go to the category at quarterback of the, yeah, put us down for more of that category.
All right.
Detroit and Goff. They're going to be in the category of, yeah, you know what? He's pretty good. Put us down for more of that. They're going to re-sign him.
They're going to re-sign him.
Okay.
Yep, because they've got a successful formula that's gotten them comfortably into the playoffs. They've been effectively locked into the playoffs since mid-season. And
right.
There's not a mandate to improve on Jared Goff.
Okay, then there is your Minnesota Vikings with Kirk. I would assume they're in the, yeah, we're probably in for more of this category.
The fan base has gotten there, and Justin Jefferson has helped a lot. He is banging the drum for Kirk over and over and over. And so all these people that are like, ah, Kirk's not good enough, or people that were saying Justin Jefferson doesn't want him, Justin Jefferson wants a better quarterback, or Justin Jefferson wants to reset the quarterback position. No, that is not the case. Justin Jefferson wants Kirk back, so now you bring them both back together.
Okay. Then there is Tampa with Baker Mayfield, who I predicted on this very pod a week ago, watch, he's coming back to Earth. And he came back to Earth big time this week.
Nicely done. Here, by the way, I got to give you one of these for that. That's the FFW peacock right there. Little peacocking on that call.
Yes, and we're going to talk about the fantasy season because it's now finally over. GuillotineLeagues.com had another bang-up year. I got to see the operation up close. It's amazing. There's a whole underground facility here at Church's house.
The bunker.
Workers.
Yes, exactly. Migrants that we bring in, slave labor. Yes, toiling in the Guillotine League factories.
So I went and I said Baker Mayfield's going to come crashing back to Earth. He played like shit this week. What else does Tampa have going on? They're probably going to be in for more of Baker Mayfield.
I think so. And in totality, this is the best year of his career.
True. Yes.
He's played well. Now, not the greatest offensive line, and he does have these bummer moments that he foists on your team like he did last Sunday. But in totality, he's played so much better than anybody expected. And okay. And Tampa's going to pick, they're probably sitting at roughly draft position 18 right now. It's hard to do much from 18.
Then there is the desperate need at quarterback. And I only have three teams in here in the plainly desperate need.
Mm.
New England,
mm-hmm.
Las Vegas,
yep,
and Washington.
Yeah.
New England and Washington are
at the top of the draft.
Second behind the Bears.
Right.
So they're in a death spiral for the number two spot. The Commanders have to lose as double-digit dogs to the Cowboys, who are likely going to be sitting a whole bunch of people. Oh, no, they have to win, actually.
I think they can win the division.
Right. So and Washington really needs to lose.
Yes.
And I think if that happens, they win the strength of schedule against New England. We'll see. But they're close. They're two in the desperate need category. Vegas is the third. Don't need to elaborate. We know the deal. Now, the more interesting category is the, are we really still doing this? Quarterback category. You ready?
Yeah.
The Giants with Daniel Jones coming off of knee surgery.
Yeah.
Are we really still doing this?
They're going to have to. They don't have a choice. They just signed him to, what, $38 million a year? I think they're stuck with Daniel Jones for another year.
Oh, man.
And hope that he comes back off the ACL and is – keep in mind, the ACL is so punishing for him because – half of the reason he had any value
was
because of the scrambling,
big,
right?
Big, tall white boy who can gallop, which is crazy.
So you take that off the table, and now you just have Daniel Jones' arm. He's never thrown for more than 15 touchdowns in a season.
I know. Are we really still doing this, the Saints, with Derek Carr?
Here's the thing. This, just like his whole career, though, Zabe, he's not bad enough to get you to move on. You know, although the Raiders eventually did, but it took him a long time to get there.
Sure.
He's had, I think, 7 300-yard games this year.
Wow.
He hasn't played badly.
Okay. So they're going to be we're probably in for more.
I think we're in for more.
I need to put them in a different category. The Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
Desmond Ridder.
That's a reboot.
Are we really still doing Desmond Ridder?
They've benched him 4 times this year? The answer is clearly no. That's going to be a new head coach that's going to want their own person.
Okay.
Falcons, unfortunately, got to be picking in roughly spot, I don't know, 14 or something. So they're not going to be in a spot to easily help themselves, but they can't go back to Ridder.
Okay. Are we really still doing this? The Steelers with Kenny Pickett.
They're not. I don't think.
Are we really still doing the Kenny Pickett thing? You know, they secured Mike Tomlin's 17th out of 17 winning seasons.
God bless him for that. That's amazing.
Fucking amazing.
It is.
Right. And for those Steeler fans I know, shout out to you, Scotty Boy and Nathan Nye. Looks like Tomlin's back again because it's hard to fire a black guy who's never had a losing season, no matter his shortcomings.
And not only that, you can say he's doing this despite the quarterbacking since Ben's heyday. So for all the people who are like, we just rode Ben Roethlisberger's arm.
Right.
You know, it's been 3 years since Ben was any good.
So you don't think the Steelers are going to keep doing this thing?
No, this Pickett thing's run its course. I know they invested a first-round pick into him, but I think in 2 years, he's thrown more than one touchdown in a game one time.
Okay. All right. Are we still doing this? The Titans. With everything they're doing, with the decrepit, decaying Ryan Tannehill, with the never delivered promise of Malik Heath, the project, with the still infuriatingly inconsistent Will Levis, who got hurt on Sunday, what are we doing?
They're rebooting. That's going to be another total reboot at quarterback. Levis is not the answer for anybody who watched. Remember his first game in, the 4 touchdowns that he threw, right?
Splash.
It was on 3 of those passes were pretty bad, and then he looked just like that. It's been all bad since then. He's not the answer. Malik Willis, definitely not the answer. Non-functional passer. There were people that were banging the drum for Malik Willis to be the first pick in overall in that draft.
I know, because people get crazy from the end of the football season to draft day. They get literally crazy. They envelop themselves in all this nonsense, bullshit, combine, pro days. This is what the rumor is. Buzz this. Make up an argument for. It's crazy.
The other thing that kills people in this process, they love their rushing mobile quarterbacks.
They do.
But at the end of the day, you have to be a functional passer, Josh Dobbs. I mean, that's, you know... The evaluation for the quarterback position should be 80% arm.
Yeah.
And we get guys like Malik Willis just running through colleges, and especially at the Liberty level, and people are like, oh, my God, he's transformational.
Yeah.
Not as a passer.
Yeah. Did I call him Malik Heath?
You did. That's all right.
Malik Heath is a wide receiver for the Packers. Malik Willis, what you're talking about, Willis, is the Liberty quarterback, and Will Levis is the still very much raw prospect. So they may be, going a different direction. Are we still really doing this? Last two teams.
Yeah, there's still more.
I told you, man, this is a tough league.
Ugh.
Tough league to get it right at quarterback, Are we really still doing this on the Panthers and Bryce Young? This is going to be one of the most fascinating tests to me with a hot-headed owner who may or may not have thrown a drink on somebody. Looks like he did to me, but I'm not a court of law. How long will they have their hand in the fire on this beautiful little shrimpy-ass, teensy-tiny, not like Kyler Murray can run away from everybody, doesn't have his arm, quarterback in Bryce Young, who, by the way, has secured the worst passer rating in the league for a starter minimum number of attempts, dethroning the two-time reigning champ, Zach Wilson.
Wow.
Did you know Zach Wilson had that title?
Back-to-back?
Worst passer rating for minimum attempts.
Wow.
2 years in a row.
Wow.
So Bryce Young is now locked it up with a week to go.
Obviously, sunk cost fallacy is a big part of this conversation, right? And so
sunk cost fallacy being, for those that don't know,
you know, you put this first round pick into him, so you can't just move on from that. You've already put all this money in.
It's a sunken cost that you don't want to walk away from.
Right, right.
Even if that's the smart move.
Yes. Yeah. So, and now obviously they don't have a first round pick because they gave that up to go get him, so they can't even make a move. You could look at Trevor Lawrence. Remember, Trevor Lawrence, rookie season, disaster, along with everything else that went wrong right. that year in Jacksonville.
Right.
And then in the Can second year, they got him better coaching, and he brought Jacksonville
True.
To the second round of the playoffs.
Can you squint hard enough, though, to make teensy-tiny Bryce Young into Trevor Lawrence? I can't. Yeah. I can't squint that hard.
Lawrence had the arm talent that Bryce Young doesn't have.
I know.
That's the problem.
I know. Yeah. Okay, and the last one are the in the category of, are we really still doing this? You're going to laugh. The J-E-T-S.
Oh.
Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah, they're doing it, baby. Oh, they're doing it. You know they are. Because here's why, Zabe. Because they've spent the whole season saying, if only...
Rodgers was healthy.
Yeah, that's right. And so now they got to go run, if only, back next year. And they got to see what happens with him. They will not make a substantive move at quarterback.
I agree with you on that, but I just got to believe there are some people in that building, quietly, without wanting to stir up any shit, who are asking, what are we doing? So if he comes back and he's good, how good can he be? If he comes back and plays, what else is going to break on him?
Yeah, and what's the what do you do after him? I mean, your runway on him is still super short.
Right. How many more years of him after this coming would we have?
Right. So the right thing to do would be to go Jordan Love on Aaron Rodgers again and go draft your next quarterback of the future to learn behind Aaron Rodgers, because that went great in Green Bay. He loved that.
Yeah.
But that'd be the right thing to do. They won't do it.
Let's talk about the Lions real quick. Lions with a trick play, elaborately beautiful, complex, well thought out, conceptual play that they had warned, you know, Brad Allen and his crew about. They unleash it on what would have been the game-winning two-point conversion in Dallas, and they complete it. Then, literally 20 seconds after the play is over, here comes a flag. And there's been so many takes on this, who's at fault, who's responsible, blah, blah, blah. I'm of the feeling of it was, there's a lot of overlapping truths here. So there's not one unified, like the Lions did get, quote, screwed, sort of, but they were so tricky, they tricked the refs.
Okay, but they knew that could happen. That this could out-trick the refs. So they went to Brad Allen and his crew ahead of time.
I know.
To explain exactly what they were going to do.
Right.
That's why. And so I don't think that's a fair criticism to say that they made it too complex. Or they put the refs in a position to be confused because they explained what was coming.
Okay, but I read a report this morning that says the NFL does not plan to change their policies on reporting as eligible because they feel like the Lions intentionally did something that looked tricky or weird.
What they did.
They had Skipper 70 report eligible 6 times in the game alone.
Right.
And because he was jogging on this play late, Brad Allen looks at him like, oh, you again, huh? 70? I got it. You're eligible. Hold on. You know, I got to go. I got to go set this play up. Did a yeah, yeah, and a nod to 68, Decker, and didn't realize Decker was going, no, I'm eligible. And he just looked at 70 from afar and was like, yeah, I got it. You're eligible. Yeah. Not my first time doing this. I got a plane to catch, by the way. So let's get this over with. And Brad Allen fucked it up.
I think he did fuck it up.
Brad Allen also lied through his fucking teeth in the pool report afterwards, in which he claimed something that clearly the tape does not support. But then again, this is a league that lies constantly, and I'm sure the league is going to back up their referee in the end.
They always do.
and nothing's going to come of it.
Do you know, because obviously, Brad Allen is mic'd. Do you know?
Oh, there's audio.
Is there audio of the whole thing, and why can't we hear it? I want to hear the audio. Let's release the tapes.
I guarantee there's. I believe that the refs are mic'd up, and they roll tape on them for the entire, all the games for doing training purposes, and in case there's like a fight or something, and did somebody say something to somebody else kind of thing.
So you think it's they're rolling hot whole game?
They have audio without question from Brad Allen's mic, my opinion.
Then I say release the audio.
I will talk to my refereeing friend, Ron Taylor, who didn't make it to the NFL, but he worked some pretty high-level college games. Some thoughts on this stuff, but I believe that they mic all this up. NFL Films also has mics everywhere.
Yeah.
They probably didn't have them on the linemen because they don't have that many, but I wouldn't be shocked if they have referee mics as well. So the audio is out there, but you're asking, will we ever hear it? No fucking way. And here's why. The league is very good at keeping shit under wraps they want to keep under wraps, and they will go to any length to do so, including to court. When it comes to Brady and Deflategate and subpoenaing his phone and everything else, they have no shame in this. I had a listener who preferred to be Deep Throat, whose brother worked for NFL Films and did audio.
Okay. He's holding a parabolic mic or something or whatever.
He worked with a lot of the audio files from mic'd up guys. And this source of mine, and I trust him as a source, said his brother played for him audio of Marty Schottenheimer when the Chargers were the number one seed in the AFC and the early ascension of Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah, this would have been the Philip Rivers era.
They shit the bed at home against the Patriots in a game where they were going for crazy fourth downs and two-point conversions. And this source said, you wouldn't believe Marty Schottenheimer's mic feed in that game. He said he was saying things like, I'm so hyped up. Somebody's got to calm me down here. I'm losing my mind here. You know, he was.
Wow.
This listener said Marty Schottenheimer sounded like he couldn't handle the moment.
Wow.
That he was completely out of his mind. If you watch the game, there was shit that was done by him in that game that defied all logic.
Was this the Philip Rivers playing on one leg game?
No, that was in New England.
Okay, so that wasn't this
later.
One. Okay,
this was. I could look up the game, and for those Charger fans that may painfully remember it, we could go back and do a deep dive. But yeah, my guy said the coach's mic of Marty was unbelievable, and it would stun people if he got released. Never got released. It's not going to get released.
Well, no. It would only make everybody look bad.
So,
but that's not an integrity of the game issue like this is, which is why the NFL for sure won't release this, because they never want anybody to question the integrity of the outcome of the game.
Right. To me, the net is, can we pare down the rule book on all of this eligible, not eligible, reporting, this, that, the other thing? The rules don't have to be this complex. They could be, I'm eligible because this is how and where I'm lined up, instead of reporting.
Imagine you're a budding NFL newbie in Germany, right? They desperately want to migrate this game to other countries. Imagine making heads or tails of this Lions play. How could you possibly have any understanding of what the hell is going on?
Forget the about rules... a German noob. Explain it to your girlfriend.
Right. Yes. Here. That's grown up with it.
Here's what happened. He has to report, but you see, the other guy reported, and he just assumed, and because 68 was not covered by a wide receiver, he technically was eligible. It didn't report to Brad Allen, though.
Right.
He announced it over the PA, and just because he announced it doesn't mean that that's exactly what happened, but who's going to prove it? They don't give you receipts for checking into the game, and Skipper anyway was lined up in the guard position because he was on an interior line, so he wasn't even eligible anyway, so
We've lawyered up the rule book way too much.
It is. All right. What a weekend, Charge. Thank you for having me. The specialness of friends and friendships and being there, planning something bodacious, which we did, and we pulled it off. Catalina Wine Mixer, played your incredible pinball game, Godzilla.
Yeah.
I love what do you, it. What do I'm you about think? To play now, it for like, another hour or two yeah, before right. we go to the airport.
What do you think is state-of-the-art pinball today? Where it is today compared to what we grew up with?
It's incredible. This machine has so many ramps and spinners and targets and multi-balls and buildings that pop up and collapse, and the whole unit shakes and everything else. My first thought was, having grown up with a pinball machine in the basement with my dad, was, shit's going to break on this. You know, solenoids are going to go out, connections are going to get bad, and I'm like, you better have a good repair person. Would you say, I don't have one now.
And hopefully I won't need one.
Hopefully I won't need one but for a around. Lot of plays, yeah. you know, because yeah. there's a lot of complexity to the game, but it's super fun, and I love that you have the machine in your basement. Second question for you. You played my MetaQuest 3.
Yeah, as I'm somebody, really impressed.
As somebody who has been on the bleeding edge of VR, and yeah, now
early,
AR,
early adopter.
Bleeding edge yes. charge has been.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on MetaQuest 3?
It's the best headset that's been made for commercial headset. There's some industrial headsets that are amazing, but they're like, you know, $5,000 or $10,000.
And nobody plays games on them, right?
And yeah, they're generally not used for games. They're like, I don't know, they're architects used, and stuff. Yeah, that
virtual
to,
inspection to, of oil rigs right, in the North
yeah,
Sea.
Right.
So you don't have to actually fly out.
Right, right. That kind of stuff.
Got it.
So this... for commercial grade, I think it's fantastic. The field of view is great. The pixel density clarity. Is fantastic. The clarity is good.
Responsiveness of
sound
it.
Is awfully good.
The sound is somehow spatially really good. It makes you feel like, I don't know how they do it, little tiny speakers in and around your headset. So if there's a noise coming off to your right, you hear it over there on your right.
Which sounds just like stereo, but it's more complex no. than that. It's like if it's back and right, you feel like it's back and right. And yeah, it's
grab the headset. See if you can see any tiny speakers that are.
You know, I was looking at it at one point for exactly that, and I didn't see any outward facing speakers in this. I assume it's this.
Just on the sides,
these two
yeah.
Right
those, that's it right there.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah, just a left.
But
and
maybe
right
with
speaker.
Software, they figure out how to make it. Trick your brain into thinking.
Yeah. That's now, the case. You and I have been sharing a headset, and I guess I should tell you now about my face herpes, which I had failed to mention prior to this point.
You're telling me now?
Yeah, I think now is probably the
just
time.
Just now,
yeah, the
dick.
Face, yeah, the face herpes. So we've been sharing this headset back and forth all weekend.
Do you have a cream or an ointment for that?
I make my own. Also, the controllers are they're lightweight, they're great.
What do you make that homemade face herpes cream out of? I just need to know.
There's some mayo involved with that.
That's same. Some mayo, a little dollop of gasoline.
Yes. For our face herpes. But you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You know, you might need to I'll have your mask up for a
okay.
while.
Okay. And the setup you have in the basement with a very ultra short throw projector. The projector is on a small stand on the floor, and it throws 2 feet to the wall, but up onto what looks like a 100-inch screen.
120. Yeah.
120-inch screen that is incredibly clear. We enjoyed watching Sunday Ticket on YouTube, enjoyed with an asterisk.
Yes, with the games they've decided they'll allow you to watch.
There is no reason why YouTube is not letting you pick the 4-banger that you want.
How about 8-banger? Why can't I watch 8?
That would
Direct
be...
TV for 25 years let me watch 8 games.
Okay.
I want 8, and I want to be able to pick my 8. That's not asking too much, YouTube TV.
Does 8 divide evenly into the screen, or is there space? I think
there's a little space. Yeah, there's a little space top bottom. It doesn't fill every inch, but it's still way better.
I'm also curious, and somebody who's a nerd about video stuff, or maybe has done the research on that. I believe that when YouTube TV delivers you the 4-banger picture on Sunday Ticket, they're delivering 4 separate feeds that have to be caught and processed by your bandwidth. It's not a melted 4.
Yeah, blended 4. Yeah.
Right. That they yeah. could cook the 4 together and then deliver it to you in one stream of video and not tax your Wi-Fi as much. I think they deliver 4 because they allow you to pop around with the audio to each one.
Yeah, which
so
you
that
need.
Requires 4 discrete screens, and it allows you to punch into one of the 4 and then hit back to go back to the 4 view.
Yeah.
So we had here in your house 4 downstairs 8 upstairs.
Right.
Plus a computer and an iPad. And even though you've got great Wi-Fi here, I think we were taxing your system pretty
good.
For
sure. No doubt. Because that's a big draw. We had 5 devices, all streaming.
But for next year, YouTube and DirecTV, just let us pick the 4 baggers. We'll pick
them. It's not that hard.
Right. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. And
Or at least explain clearly why it's not that way.
Because right now, nobody knows.
Right. They're like, just don't talk about it.
No. Or how about this? If you're going to prepackage my 4 multi-views, give me effectively every option. Give me like every possible scenario to build those 4 if you have to prepackage it.
That would be nice.
Or give me many more options. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. So I got a little dollop of snow. You guys got the first actual snowfall of the year, believe
yeah,
it or
pretty
not.
Much. We've had just little
a
stuff
half
that
an
hasn't
inch.
Stayed. Yeah,
I'd call it a half an inch dusting here.
That's about it.
Went to Big Boar Barbecue on Saturday night. Thank you to the owner who I met there.
Yeah, Chad. You did not. That was not the owner.
Oh,
that
the
was
manager.
Just, yeah, that was a manager.
All right,
yep.
But shout out Big Boar in New Haven.
Hanover, Minnesota.
Hanover, Minnesota, just west of the Twin Cities. It's outstanding barbecue. Check it out. Thank you as well to Jeff Tyler, our regional market president, iHeart, that got us the 4 tickets at no cost to the league. They were incredible tickets. 50-yard line, beautiful,
great
club seats and all that.
Yeah.
Thank you to my man Kevin and his girl Chantel, who came to the game and were great company. Thank you to Manny's for getting us a table, and you, Charge, for hooking that up.
Yeah.
Shout them out. Manny's Steakhouse, downtown Minneapolis. It's a classic, one of just the top 5 in the country, if not the best.
It is. Right? I'm convinced it's as good as any steakhouse in America.
Right. Thank you to Prohibition Bar. We went there for New Year's. Thank you to who else? Roxy, who was a great...
How about you? Thank you, Steve Zabin, for making it all happen.
What do you mean,
out of your own
me?
Pocket.
You just came.
You flew out here.
I did nothing.
Yes.
I showed up and
You ran all the risks of having, like, no food to eat. Because, you know...
That was not a
know,
risk.
You know, you had a lot... You had a lot on the line here. You made it all happen.
I did almost...
My man.
I did almost cancel my Delta flight because it was listed as in-flight Wi-Fi, $770. $7. By the way, follow up on that because somebody asked... Yes, they did cancel my flight. I had to rebook on a different flight. Luckily, there was still
space.
Seats
all
available.
Right. All right.
All right, Charge. 1:10, but it went by in a flash. Went by in a flash. You're the man. Happy New Year. Best of best in 2024. Guillotine League payouts are coming now for your contest.
By the time you hear the Tuesday is going to be. For people who are winners, we have, if you won money in one of our public contests, Tuesday's payday.
All right. Full fantasy recap next week. We'll see you, folks. Happy New Year.
No, come back, eh? Look what you did. Everybody's gone. You see you. Come back. I won't let him do it again. Yeah. My fault was, your fault.
You're such a hoser. There's no way I'll ever do another record with you.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.